Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Protecting a woman's right to choose, protecting reproductive freedom, and making sure that we've got on the record Ms. O'Donnell's views on prayer, abortion, evolution is important. These aren't just random statements on some late-night TV show.
This election cycle should not be about comments I made on a comedy show over a decade and a half ago. This election cycle should be about what is important to the people of Delaware.
There are some extremely intelligent people who are believers and believe that God brings the life of the mind to complete fulfillment.
I respect the Bible and I take it as an allegorical book, but I'm a Christian, so the New Testament is what I believe in.
I know all the Christians want to get behind the happy half of the Bible.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Friday is our chance to communicate with you. We like to keep the communication two-way as much as you can in radio. I know it's so often one-way communication, but we like to hear from our listeners, and we do in so many ways. We hear from them at our Facebook fan page. We hear from them via email. They give us calls. They sometimes send us tweets. Email is the one that we have the hardest time with, because when the phone rings, you can just pick it up. When the email starts coming at the rate that it does here every week, you can't answer every one of them. So we try and answer as many of them as we can on Fridays on Issues Etc. This Friday is no different. We're coming to you live this Friday, October the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. And thanks for tuning us in. Listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. For about the first 45 minutes, we'll pick Issues Etc. blog of the week. Then we're going to start a new series here on Issues Etc. We know how much our listeners love the series that we do here. This one's Apparent Contradictions in the Bible. We might have just called it Contradictions in the Bible, but we didn't want to give the impression that we are going to give way to any of the accusations that the Bible contains contradictions. So, Apparent Contradictions in the Bible. We're going to start at the beginning with two very common apparent contradictions. One, you probably have considered, that is, if you look in the book of Genesis, you've got two separate accounts of the creation. The story is told twice, and some people contend in two different ways, two different accounts in their content. Is that true? Also, God says to Adam, when he warns him not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, on the day you eat of it, you will die. He ate of it, and he didn't die that day. What's up? We'll answer that question with Dr. Joel Heck in the second hour of the program. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four Issues Etc. soundbites to play for you, and it's your opportunity to vote and to pick Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or visit the Facebook fan page and vote for Soundbite of the Week in advance. Make sure you leave your city and state and why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Here's an email from Paul responding to our series with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa on the apocalyptic anxiety of pop American Christianity. Paul writes, I'm writing to say that I appreciate your program, but after listening to Dr. Espinosa's last two interviews on the subject of dispensationalism, I am more frustrated than I was before. If this series on end-time anxiety had been titled A Critique of Tim LaHaye, His Theology, Associations, and Political Involvements, it would have made much more sense. Instead, the last two installments included a confusing mixture of things that have no direct relationship with pre-tribulational dispensationalism, such as LaHaye's temperament theory. Even more strange was the attempt to tie the pre-trib view to Dr. D. James Kennedy's theonomic view of civil government. Kennedy was a covenant theologian who was as strongly opposed to the pre-trib rapture view as Orthodox Lutherans are. I must be missing something, Paul writes. As a former Lutheran, I am very annoyed when people in my current circles mischaracterize or misunderstand Lutheran teaching. I am also frustrated when Lutherans misunderstand and mischaracterize my own views now as a dispensationalist Baptist. You have a great show, but I am not sure what happened in this case. Perhaps the topic was too broad and undefined, but your critique of the pre-trib rapture view, if that is what it was supposed to be, didn't even hit the circle around the target, writes Paul.
Actually, I think, and we were working from Dr. Espinosa's doctoral dissertation at Birmingham, and we were working actually very closely from it. I'm no expert in these things. He's the expert, so you know we require his guidance. And I think the case that we were trying to make again and again there was not that Tim LaHaye represents all pre-trib dispensationalists. He certainly does not. And not that all pre-trib dispensationalists hold to his kind of quirky ideas. He does have that temperament theory that was so popular in the late 70s. He wrote a couple books, well, more than a couple books on it, if I remember correctly. Certainly not, because those things are almost unique to Tim LaHaye. But we were treating Tim LaHaye narrowly as, in some ways, emblematic of, not in every way, but in some ways emblematic of, the views of much of pop American Christianity. And more to the point, we were talking about how the pre-trib view, how the dispensational view creates this apocalyptic anxiety in those who hold to it. Namely, and again, as represented by, and that's even part of the dissertation's title, if I'm not mistaken, as represented by Tim LaHaye and the Left Behind series. So we were really, we were not trying to deal with the broad topic, but actually a very narrow topic. So the point of the entire thing was not to be, this is what dispensationalists believe, but how has Tim LaHaye's views, and as they've been popularized through Left Behind, no one can argue that they haven't been popularized through Left Behind. How do they produce this apocalyptic anxiety, needless apocalyptic anxiety, in pop American Christianity? We'll always strive to do better, and we really, truly value your criticism. Here's some more from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, this is Kate, your listener in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church. I hope I can squish this into 3 minutes. I'm a former member of the Unification Church. And first of all, if I were still a member of the Unification Church and heard your program, it would have just driven home even harder the idea that people who are against the Unification Church don't know what they're talking about. I was a member for over 17 years. My marriage was arranged by Moon, and I sold flowers on street corners. I also became the secretary to the then top leader in the American branch in New York City for about 3 years. I know their doctrine and their theology and the inside goings-on. Mr. Hawkins was incorrect from the start with his explanation of their theology. For example, he said that followers of Moon believed him to be God incarnate, and that is false. According to their theology, Reverend Moon is the perfected man. According to the teaching, Adam was supposed to grow to be the perfected man, but he fell. Jesus came as the second Adam, and Jesus was the first perfected man. But he was crucified, thus the need for the so-called third Adam, which would be Reverend Moon, the perfected man. The main purpose of the mass wedding ceremonies is connected in with this whole idea of perfected man. If you characterize them as saying Moon is God, then they'll just laugh at your apparent ignorance. Mr. Hawkins said that Unification Church members believe Jesus was supposed to have spiritual children. No, that's incorrect. They believe Christians are, in fact, Jesus' spiritual children. The correct teaching is that Jesus was meant to have physical children, but he was killed before that was realized. So Mr. Hawkins mixes up his terminology. He also mentioned that Unification Church teaches Jesus failed his mission. No, they'll be quick to say Jesus did not fail. The people failed to believe in him as Messiah, so he was betrayed and crucified. Jesus himself did not fail in anything, so there is a difference. I could go on, but really, I think if you want to reach Unification Church members who may be wavering in their faith, or if you want to equip Christians to engage in dialogue with Unification Church members, please have someone on who really knows the doctrine and practice and doesn't throw around terms incorrectly. If you put yourself in their shoes, if you hear someone who wants to show the error of Lutheranism throw around Lutheran terms haphazardly and then go on to attack that position, isn't that called setting up a straw man? So please be careful, because it matters. I'm not faulting Mr. Hawkins for his description of how the theology works itself out practically. I can testify from personal experience that the basic mindset is whatever Reverend Moon says is what God says. I certainly believe he was acting on God's authority when he chose a stranger to be my husband, or I never would have consented to it. But what I'm saying is, you can't just take the practice and somehow make it into their doctrine. You have to separate the two. But the most important point is to say, I love your show, and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Well, and thanks for listening in Japan. It sounds like we should have had Kate from Japan on to talk about the Unification Church. You know, 17-year former member, obviously knows her stuff. As we often say, smartest listeners in radio. A couple things, Kate. I encourage you to contact Craig Hawkins. We have a link to his website at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Find that interview there on demand. You'll find a link to his website. Contact Craig. Bring him your concerns there. That's probably the best advice I can give you. Hawkins is considered one of the top apologists in the U.S. He has a pretty hefty pedigree, including co-host of the Bible Answer Man with the late Dr. Walter Martin. Now, as for that speaks to his expertise here. Your criticisms may be entirely valid. Take them up with him, please do. Feel free. Now, I should say we always have a couple things going on at once when we're doing those kind of interviews. Do we want to fairly represent the views that we are critiquing and analyzing? Absolutely. You don't gain anything by misrepresenting anyone else's views. You certainly never, ever further the truth by stretching it. Now, we're trying to fairly represent. We are also, if we have a Unification Church person listening, we're trying not to frustrate them with any misrepresentation. We do want to reach them and show that we understand as best as we can. So your criticism is greatly valued here, so we can further our understanding. But we do have a broad audience. We're trying to, in a simple way, sometimes even a very simple way, explain some rather complicated deviant theology. You did a great job, by the way, Kate. And thanks again for listening in Japan.
Assistance if this all confuses you. So tell me why.
Why
haven't I heard from you?
Why haven't I heard from you?
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Craig must be feeling sick today. He's not dancing. Usually when Lionel Richie sings, my goodness, that gets Craig up on his feet. Craig's got a little bit of a cold, so he will be excused for not having his typical exuberant reaction to that particular piece of bump music. We're going through a listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. The Issues Etc. comment line is all for you. Just a moment ago, you heard Kate from Japan. You know, completely different, not just time zone, a completely different day over there. She listens live or on demand, however she wants to listen. And then she can formulate her thoughts. She can call and she can criticize the guest, how we handled the topic. That's what it's for. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. So we heard an email that was a criticism of something we had to say. Comment line as well. If you're listening on demand and you hear something you want to react to, something you want to correct or add to, 618-223-8384. Any time of day, whatever day it is today for you.
Here's an email from Ken. I just listened to your podcast discussing the Bill Maher and Bill O'Reilly debate. Wow, I was amazed at the tact and respect by the hosts of the show. It seems all too often today that anyone who presents valid questions and concerns about the Bible is immediately written off as an attacker of the faith. Admitting some of these concerns are valid was a breath of fresh air for me. Although I don't necessarily agree with your specific faith, I now have a great amount of respect for the program and your open-mindedness. On a side note, Bill Maher is actually agnostic, not an atheist. He does not deny the existence of a higher power, only that the truth of it all is unknowable until we die. Still, a great show, concludes Ken.
Yeah, and I think that Bill Maher kind of bounces back and forth. I've heard him interviewed where he allows himself to be defined as an atheist. And, well, he'll make statements like, there is no God. Then I've heard interviews with him. I think he was interviewed by Terry Gross of Fresh Air one time a couple years ago. And she pressed him and pressed him. And finally he said, you know, okay, I don't know. But no one can know, and his real gripe is with those who say they can know. He is it even possible to be a militant agnostic? Maybe it is. And so he kind of bounces back and forth, which I think also should teach us something about your average run-of-the-mill garden variety atheist. He probably is, depending on the day of the week, an agnostic as much as he is an atheist. The true atheists, if they're really consistent, would probably not spend a lot of time thinking or talking about God. It would be the most irrelevant subject you could possibly bring up. So I think most of them kind of bounce back and forth between agnosticism and atheism.
Here's an email from Jack. He says he's a podcast New Jersey truck driver who loves Issues, etc. Honk, honk. Jack writes, concerning the petition of the Lord's Prayer, I'd appreciate if you could explain why the conjunction but is used instead of and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But would seem to indicate a contrasting thought. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we have in mind a linking of temptation and evil. Thanks, writes Jack.
That's good, and I wish we would have had time. One of our pastor's roundtable members mentioned it very briefly, and I cannot remember exactly what he said or even who said it. But they were talking about that word, but in but deliver us from evil. The two are grammatically linked. This could be even read as one petition, even though we break it into two. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, when we were doing the show on lead us not into temptation, it's an awkward way of talking about it. Luther even feels the need to say, look, God doesn't lead you into temptation. He doesn't tempt anyone. So why the wording, lead us not into temptation? My suggestion is the best way to read that in kind of the parlance of our day is to say, lead us out of temptation. To lead someone not into something is, I think by definition, to lead them out of. Lead us out of temptation. We are in temptation. Only God can lead us out rather than farther in. And then it would follow naturally to say, but deliver us from evil. That is, there's more than one thing going on here. We are tempted. I think here we're dealing with how we find evil within, because our sinful flesh always is enticed by the temptations wherever they come from. But then there is also the need to be delivered. We're really asking God, lead us out and deliver us. As I said, could be one petition, although we usually treat it as two. So it is a contrast of the things we are asking for. First, with regard to temptation, and then more generally with regard to evil. First, that God would lead us out of the temptations we will inevitably face, and that he would deliver us from the evil we would inevitably, that we do inevitably face. And evil there being as general as the evil in the world around us, and as specific as we said in our pastor's roundtable, the evil one himself.
Jack, the listener that just sent that email, do us a favor and call our comment line. Again, we don't do this often enough. Truck drivers, we'd love to hear from you. The comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. The standard line is, in Jack's case, New Jersey truck drivers, love issues, etc. And hit the...
Blow your horn.
Twice.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we've had truck drivers, we've had... Mac users and airplane pilots.
Well, yeah, we haven't put the airplane pilot in lately.
I don't make these decisions.
I know.
But we want as many truck drivers.
We had Law and Order groupie. Remember the guy?
Yeah, I remember that one too.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can find something you want to tack on to And I Love Issues, etc., and you want to tack on any sound that says who you are, what you do, feel more than free, 618-223-8384. If you don't think you got it in the first take, just call back and do it again, and we'll take the best.
Speaking of first take, or Indiana, the guy, listener in Indiana, if he could call back, the cell phone broke up at the end. So the guy that called in, the generous listener, whoever you are, Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc., call that comment line again and re-record.
Yeah, but I fixed that one.
Yeah, but it's still not
Jeff
great.
Is such a perfectionist.
You know, I took
a honk from another truck driver and put it on the end of that one because his honk was inaudible. And that sounds kind of funny, but it was. And I fixed it perfectly well, but because Jeff knows it wasn't perfect to begin with, it will have to be done over again. How many hours a week, Craig, do you spend doing stuff over again?
Listen, just during the time when the mic was off out here.
Yeah.
First email, he said we got four edits tonight. He goes, I stumbled through that whole thing.
I'll tell you what, this on-demand listening stuff. As much as we love our on-demand listeners, this on-demand listener stuff has bred in Jeff. Well, let's just call it what it is, Craig.
I spend hours every week. Hours redoing stuff for Jeff.
Because, if there's a breath, it's gotten to the point now, he heard Will Can Breathe, that he'll make a little mark in his thing. Got to go back. And so what it used to be, we'd just get done with the show, we'd head and tail the piece of audio, we'd make sure all the spots were where they need to be, maybe make one or two fixes if it was really severe. You know, in the old days, you remember those, Craig? Before the reign of perfection fell upon LPR? And then we'd be done. And now... I'm sitting there waiting to post audio on the website. People anxiously waiting for the audio to go up on the website. And there's Craig in there going over breaths and the rattling of paper. And maybe Wilkins' chair makes a noise and they hear me ticking on the computer. All these, it's all got to be cut out. It has to be perfect.
You know, there are LCMS Inc. standards and then there are LPR standards. Enough said.
Well, I agree. I agree that we don't want to fall below our high standard, but... pretty soon it's going to be, I don't know, how much more can you correct something after the fact? How much more?
Jeff's going to say, we got to redo that show over.
Yeah, when that happens, it'll be time for a little bit of what do they call it when the union guys refuse to work? A strike, yeah. Craig will just strike. Can you see Craig outside walking with a picket? Can you see that?
I could. Yeah, Mr. Fiscal Conservative, that's why we look for the union label guy.
Yep. I can see him walking outside in front of our window here, back and forth with his sign. No more edits. No more. I won't clean up any more audio. What are we doing? Oh, we're getting... Is there enough time for an email here before we go to break?
Yeah, I'll take an email. Jake in Nashville, Tennessee. I finished the segment on in vitro fertilization with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, and after discussing it with my wife, we came to this conclusion. IVF and abortion can be viewed as opposite sides of the same coin of selfishness. On one side, someone can want a child so badly they will resort to IVF and all that goes with it. On the other hand, someone cannot want a child so badly they are willing to kill the child. The most important thing I picked up from the interview is we as a society have turned children into a commodity, and that is a very scary place to be. On a lighter note, in response to the gentleman who called in and said he didn't like your inane discussions during audio open lines, I rather enjoy the banter. I find it entertaining and amusing most of the time. Thanks for all you do, writes Jake in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, I don't think the guy who called before, this was last Friday, if I'm not mistaken, on the comment line, who said we should have a designation on our podcast for Fridays that instead of clean or explicit like you usually get with iTunes, he said there should be one that says inane, so he knows. I think he actually likes listening to it. I mean, he must listen to it enough to consider it inane. You know, a lot of the stuff I listen to on the radio is inane. It just goes to show this is a great principle to observe, folks, and that is if you just let us talk, Wilkin, Schwarz, and our dear Craig, if you just let us talk, you're just going to get inanity. Is that a word? Inanity? Yeah, that's what you're going to get. That's why we have guests. That's why we have topics. That's why we try to steer as far away from our own impulses as we can. I don't care how much money I got to spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just woke me a little. Issues Etc., regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Brazilian supermodel Isabelle Fontana recently revealed becoming pregnant when only 19. Those in her New York modeling agency pressured her to have an abortion. They said it would ruin her career. From a very young age, Isabelle dreamed of being a mother. She told her agency, "You are crazy. The thing I want most is that child. I already love him." Her son is now 8, and she's had a second baby. As for her career, she's appeared repeatedly on covers of major fashion magazines in the U.S. and around the world. She's also starred in multiple advertising campaigns. So if you're facing an unexpected pregnancy, having your baby won't make you a supermodel. But follow Isabelle's example. Put your baby first, and trust God will help you work out the details.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been. Well, did you get my message?
Ooh. Did you get my message? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, October the 15th. Going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. This is about the time that a lot of congregations are thinking about budgetary matters for the next year. You know, you do have to plan ahead for those things. We're doing it around here as well. And as congregations consider the place of Issues Etc. in their budget, we'd like them to make a spot for us to the tune of $1,000 or more. And that means that congregation would be an Issues Etc. 300. We're hoping for 300 congregations that all include Issues Etc. for at least $1,000 in their mission or advertising budget, wherever it fits into their budget, in fact. So, your congregation isn't yet an Issues Etc. 300 congregation. Here's what you can do. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find a one-page flyer you can download and print off, take to your congregation, and explain to them all about the Issues Etc. 300. And thank you in advance for helping us out.
And I think we should probably explain why we say mission and or advertising, because some people want to include us in their budget as a mission outreach to help us proclaim God's word of law and gospel to the world. Other people agree with that, but they would like to advertise their own congregation. So when you support us to the tune of $1,000 a year, not only are you helping us proclaim God's word of law and gospel to the world, but you're also advertising and promoting and letting people who listen to our show know more about your congregation, whether that's at our Find a Church page, commercials during the show, radio commercials during the show, or in the Issues Etc. journal. So, hey, you know, I promised last week, and I'm a promise breaker in need of the perfect righteousness of the only promise keeper, Jesus Christ. So, having said that, I said we wouldn't talk about the half-calf coffee issue anymore.
You promised that?
Now, quickly, Todd, for new listeners or people that aren't in the know, give the quick 30-second story about the coffee issue here.
Craig has been lying to us for 2.5 years.
That's it.
And because we thought we were getting real coffee, we complained about the taste of it. We, to the best of our ability, came to the conclusion that it had to be the water. We had listeners offering to get us bottled water. We had listeners telling us how to clean out the coffee maker. Come to discover that it's actually been Craig all along who had been slipping in the half calf into the regular whole calf, full calf, whatever it is, caffeinated coffee can, and passing it right under our noses, and the whole time knowing why the coffee tasted terrible, but not admitting it until finally Jeff somehow, I don't know how you found out, you just found out somehow that he'd been lying to us for 2.5 years. And
I think he came clean. He came clean.
Did he admit to it?
Yeah,
admitted to it. So, back to where you were. You'd promised that this would not be a subject again. Why is it?
Not to pour salt on a wound. Our good friend and listener, Brian Yamabe, out in San Jose, California, we did a 24-hour straight Bible study broadcast called Issues Etc. 24. And Brian went to the vault and found this about the coffee issue during Issues Etc. 24.
You told me a couple days ago that Collinsville is like award-winning water. What did you say? The water of Collinsville wins like awards for how great it is?
Best in the state.
Okay, we are in the city limits of Collinsville. That's where LPR Studio is. Okay, so it's not the coffee because, I mean, coffee is coffee. I think it's Folgers or something back there. And you made this pot of coffee. Thank you very much for doing that. It will get me through, okay?
Is it weak?
No. The strength is fine. But so it's not the coffee. But, I mean, this is the kind of coffee that keeps you awake for more than one reason. It's not just the caffeine. It's the more or less disgusting flavor that kind of keeps your senses keen. It has to be the water, Craig, or there's something wrong with it may be great in the rest of Collinsville. But in this building, there may be something wrong with the pipes. I don't know.
I concur with Todd Wilkin here, Craig. I just haven't had the heart to tell you during the last almost 2 years.
You tell me almost daily, Jeff. Jeff tells me almost daily there's not much good about Collinsville.
Well, I'd say that, but I've never told you about the water.
I've got nothing against Collinsville. But, the coffee's only redeeming value is that a caffeine delivery system, and a rather disgusting one as it is. And I don't think you can make the coffee strong enough to cover that flavor. I don't know what it is. It's kind of industrial. I'm pretty sure that it's probably giving me an incurable disease. But I have no choice. I got to get through the next 24 hours. So just telling you, thanks for the coffee, but I know you can't do anything about the water.
You drink it black, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I've got two words for you. Well, three words. Cream and sugar.
Cream and sugar.
Man, that was cream and sugar before it was cream and sugar.
I know.
Holy smokes.
Well, you talk about a listener that gets the show.
Oh, yeah. Was that at the beginning of Issues Etc. 24?
I don't know. You sound pretty good. It must have been somewhere towards the beginning. I'm thinking it's probably about like midnight or something.
Because I was mentally incoherent by the time we got to the end. And I know I wasn't drinking coffee in the morning because I was planning on going to sleep shortly thereafter. Huh. So we actually have documentary evidence now. I mean, the only thing missing is a transcript.
He knew the whole time.
Then did you hear the innocence in his voice? Did you hear this leading me along? And here I am theorizing about the water, and he's just, he's not even standing up for Collinsville that much. And I even presented him with the golden opportunity to admit that it was the coffee. And It's like crickets over there. There's nothing.
Think of all the jumping jacks, the running you and I did during Issue Set 24. Because the coffee wasn't. Next year's Issue Set 24 is going to be a breeze.
I know. I was out in the parking lot during literally every break. Remember? Especially as we got toward the very wee hours of the morning. I was out in the parking lot, running around the parking lot, trying to keep my blood flow going. And still, I would come in here, I'd sit down, and you guys watched me. I mean, I don't even remember the Kleinig interview at all. I don't remember some of the other interviews, because I was drifting off. And then I'd kind of come around just enough to ask a semi-coherent question, then I'd drift off again, and then I was standing up, I was dancing. Craig watched me go through all of that. And I cannot... it's hard for me to believe that he wasn't just a little bit amused. It's hard for, I mean, it's hard for me to believe he wasn't just a little bit amused to watch me trying my hardest to stay awake, knowing all along he held in his hand the remedy for this. He could have made it easier on us, but he didn't.
Look at him. He's not even flinching.
I know.
I mean, you're throwing uppercuts,
this
jabs.
It's like looking at Mount Rushmore. There's no expression on his face.
Nothing. Back to email. Paul, I'm wondering about Luther, Martin Luther, and the Textus Receptus. You better define that term. I realize that Luther's Bible pretty much followed it, but I'm wondering if anyone has done a study of his statements made throughout his commentaries about textual matters. Calvin made a few in his commentaries. For example, why he accepted or rejected a particular reading in his Bible. Can you direct me to a Lutheran seminary or scholar that would be able to help me out? Well, you've got one right here, Todd Wilkin.
Well,
a scholar indeed. Who needs a seminary professor when you got Wilkin?
Yeah, who even needs a seminary? Well, lots of people do. Okay, the Textus Receptus, that's a fancy term for the received text, and the reason that you won't find Luther and the other reformers contrasting it with other New Testament texts, kind of majority texts, is because they didn't have them. They hadn't been discovered by that time. The Textus Receptus was the most reliable, it's not a single manuscript, a compilation of manuscripts of the New Testament in Greek that there was at the time. And it was the reason they used it, Luther used it, because it was the best he had at the time. It's not bad, actually. But subsequent discoveries of earlier manuscripts, some significantly earlier, have supplemented our ability to kind of go through the text and say, ah, maybe this textual variant isn't right. And there are some differences. The King James Version, the old King James Version, was also based on the Textus Receptus. This is a dividing line in a lot of biblical scholarship. Should you use the Textus Receptus, or should you use what I would consider to be the better manuscripts? Marginally better manuscripts that you will find, or compilations of manuscripts that you will find. There's the Textus Receptus hasn't been the gold standard for a long, long time, but some people say that it offers better readings in certain places. Now, I have no idea where Luther was a bona fide exegete. That was his bailiwick. That was his expertise. He was primarily an Old Testament exegete. That would be Hebrew, Aramaic, and a tiny bit of Greek there in the Old Testament, but also a New Testament scholar, and he was very capable with the languages, and so he was able to, with the text that he have, make his comments. But to tell you the truth, the best person, this is who I'd contact. I would contact two people. I would contact Paul McCain at Concordia Publishing House. I can't remember his email address, but you can find it there someplace.
Paul.McCain@cph.org.
I would contact him with your question, and he will probably point you to Christopher Mitchell, who is the general editor of the Concordia Commentary Series, and he can either answer your question, or he'll be able to point you to someone who can answer your question. I certainly can't, because my knowledge of Luther's writings really just isn't that extensive. I kind of stick to the Confessions and dabble in the rest of it. But it's a very good question. You will find Lutheran pastors who say we shouldn't abandon this compilation of manuscripts. It's called the Textus Receptus. We shouldn't abandon it altogether. We should kind of supplement it with all these things. And if you look at something like a critical edition of the Greek New Testament, your pastor should have one on his shelf, and he should actually have it open on his desk. If he doesn't, start looking for another pastor, or take it off his shelf, open it up, and ask him to start using it. If you look at a critical edition of the New Testament, there's two basic versions. You will find that it acknowledges these differences between all of these manuscripts in great detail. It's part of the reason guys who want to be pastors do go to the seminary. Be right back.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
I'm gonna sit right. Do Lutherans just follow the teachings of Martin Luther? How is Lutheranism similar and different from historic churches like Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is Lutheranism 101. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Is it possible to be evangelical and Catholic? Lutheranism 101.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
He will bless your life if, and here's the big condition, if you do what he says. God says, if you do this, I will do this.
In the incarnation, all the children of Adam are going to be redeemed by this one who does not come from some sort of a family where every member of his ancestry was this ideal, perfect person.
Surely I ought to think more about these things now than I would anyway. No, not at all. I already thought about them a great deal. Thanks all the same.
Anything published on the internet sort of lives forever, and they're probably going to have a lot of explaining to do when they do find Mr. Right as opposed to Mr. Right Now.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. In about 20 minutes, no, not even 20 minutes, about what, 5 minutes? No, that's Blog of the Week. Soundbite of the Week is not 20 nor 5. It is probably the better part of 45 minutes away. Am I right?
Insert edit here, Craig.
I love messing with him. Maybe I should give the wrong phone numbers. That would be really... I haven't done that but like one time in the last 2.5 years. Maybe I should just give the wrong phone numbers. Soundbite of the Week coming up in about 45 minutes here. That means we're going to play some audio for you. You get to listen to these four sound bites and you get to pick. You get to pick, if you have a majority vote, you get to pick which one's going to be soundbite of the week.
Speaking of one of those sound bites, John writes, regarding the objections to evangelizing people who are terminally ill, like Christopher Hitchens stated earlier this week, isn't that very similar to what Jesus did with the one criminal on the cross who acknowledged him as Lord? I believe that example serves as our call as Christians to continue to encourage non-believers to consider Christ even to the last moment of their lives, writes John.
Well, I think you're right. What Hitchens is was responding to is a debate we played during some audio open lines earlier this week. Christopher Hitchens, who's been diagnosed with cancer, I don't know if it's terminal or not, but he said, look, it's kind of uncouth, it's disgusting for Christians to come to him and say, will you now reconsider your atheist convictions now that you have cancer and you're at the lowest point of your life to this point, and he finds that kind of disgusting. I understand what he's saying, to take advantage of, which is precisely what Jesus isn't doing. I mean, Jesus is simply being Savior to every sinner, any sinner, no matter where he finds them. And I will agree with the emailer that this is not about having a debate about God with an atheist when he's laying on his deathbed. Just cut to the chase. Talk Jesus and who he is for all sinners. Now, you may not get a conversation there. And it's probably best not even to debate there, but simply to proclaim. After all, we preach Christ. We do not present him as a matter of arguments. We preach Christ.
Here's an email from Mike. He said, "It's very difficult for me to write or think objectively about Fred Phelps and the folks from Westboro Baptist Church. I think this is a great case to demonstrate that while they have the right to believe and say whatever they want, some guidelines and principles regarding where and when this can be said are in order. My difficulty in being objective stems from the interaction I had with this group a few years ago while serving as a circuit counselor. A member of one of the congregations in the circuit was killed in action in Afghanistan. This group was coming to demonstrate at the funeral. When I corresponded with Fred Phelps, I assured him that our pastors teach that homosexuality is a sin and a condemnable act in the eyes of the Lord. I asked him to permit the congregation's pastor to fulfill his God-given call to proclaim God's word and for me to fulfill my responsibility as his ecclesiastical supervisor to make sure that sin is condemned through the proclamation of God's law and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed through the gospel. But in a response that could not be any more arrogant and self-important if he were the Pope himself, Fred Phelps informed me that it wasn't good enough for us to do the job God had called us to do. His members had his message, his way, or we weren't doing God's work. At that point in time, the Westboro Congregation building had been recently firebombed. On the website, Fred Phelps claimed that this was Satan trying to silence the truth of God's word. Trying to understand the man's logic process, I asked if 1 Timothy 2:12 might have had something to do with the arson, since he had recently ordained his daughter to preach at the church. Suffice it to say that all meaningful dialogue ceased at that point, and I was condemned as being a minion of the devil. The best thing I can say about the Westboro is that it is a media whore, seeking out the most shocking thing they can do to get attention for the purpose of broadcasting their illogical message of hatred of other as widely as they can. As far as I can tell, the Christian identity movement, i.e. skinheads, are much closer to being Christian than Westboro is to being Baptist, and that is the kindest way that I can explain it, writes Mike.
All right, yeah, and sometimes that is the kindest way to do it. Talk about things that are disgusting and repulsive. And a perfect example of mishandling the word of truth, or taking the truth and allowing the truth to be used to nefarious ends. I mean, I think the emailer said it all. And I deeply regret that anybody would have to have any dealings with Fred Phelps or his ilk, especially at a time of bereavement, especially at a time when they are mourning the death of someone that they love and they remember. I can't think of anything, well, I guess what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. I can't think of anything more diabolical than to try and rob people of the comfort of the gospel when someone's been killed and substituting for it the teaching that God is somehow punishing soldiers and their families because of what America in general is doing.